to go with the John Curley, Sherry Ellicker Show. You coming along with the ride. Much appreciated. You can write to us at mynorthwest.com. Although Andrew says...
nobody really does that.
All right. Much. To the Makashu Casino Resort text line at 1-888-973-5476. Or Aaron Gorilla's cell phone, 206-914. Is that, are we allowed to give that one out?
No, that's fine. Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. You're totally off, so it's fine.
Okay, I'm going to psychically get the first number, 4.
Yeah, it's actually right.
It's a little weird.
Do you have my number? Yes. Do you have my number? Is that how you knew that?
No, no.
Okay, all right.
I've said this before, and it's a completely useless, absolutely ridiculous, weird skill I have.
Uh-huh.
That I can guess numbers before people tell them to me. And no one ever is amazed by it. I'll be talking to a total stranger, and I'll say something like, so how long you work at Boeing? And they, even before they say it, is it like 13 years? They're like, yeah, I've been there for 13 years. Mm. They're never like, well, why don't you do that? Well, how long have you guys been married? Like what, like 6 years? And like, yep, 6 years coming up on, well, Monday. And it's just, and I always walk away and I say to Nick, or I'm like, isn't that weird that I got that? I can guess people's numbers like that. Why isn't anybody ever amazed by that? You just a few.
I think we need to give that a try. I think we need to put that to the test.
Diving into the dough. I'm already dove in. No, I do. I mean, I don't like to point it out because I don't know if I'm going to fail at it. But I will just sort of, yeah, I can do it. Bye.
Well, if you have the gift, you have the gift.
But I don't know if I, but it might be one of these gifts that like might just, you know, be furtive and might just be there for a moment and just disappear like a small animal.
Okay, I'll give you one that you might already know.
This
How's
is your
that?
Testing me over great distance.
That's okay. Okay, what month is my birthday? What number month is my birthday?
Well, I'd have to ask you. So, no, because I don't do, because then now you're asking for days and, no, I don't do it that way.
Oh, here we go.
How long have you and Trevor been married? 17 years?
No.
See? Happily. 9. No. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be tested this way.
Also, no.
No, I'm not going to be tested this way.
Okay. Okay.
It's like a small little woodland animal. You turn, gosh, you see that? And then it disappears. And then it's there again.
It's got to be organic.
Yeah, it's being organic. I can't be put on the spot like that.
Okay.
How the president of Mexico could sway U.S. presidential election. This is from the Seattle Times. I think they got this from the New York Times. Immigration has now moved up to the top number one thing that people are most concerned with, because with illegal immigration, you get crime. You get strain on city budgets, right? You get just a variety of mess that comes with it. And it's just, it's millions and millions of people pouring into this country and having no respect for the law. And this thing has come back to really bite Biden. And now they're saying if the president of Mexico were to step up and do something about this and work with the White House to stop the flow, then this could really help Biden. I don't know what point this would start to happen, but illegal immigration will continue to increase. I think it goes up a little bit during the summer, drops down a little bit. The temperatures get too high, but still people continue to pour into the country. There was some video that came up last week. They put up some barriers of some sort, and they just paraded right on through it and pushed right past a bunch of Border Patrol and some National Guards and stuff. Texas has sued the federal government, saying, listen, we're going to arrest people. You say that we can't. We are. We're going to continue. Now we're going to arrest people that are coming in here. Federal government says you're not allowed to do that. So that's been going back and forth. It's in the court. But still, at this point, Texas says, listen, we're going to forget what the federal government wants. We're going to try to enforce some laws here in Texas. So this is a big, big issue in the United States, and a big issue that Biden still hasn't properly addressed. And they tried to impeach Mayorkas. They got Mayorkas, but it doesn't stop the problem that they have. So it really gets down to whether or not will a president of Mexico do something to stem the flow, right? What else is the New York Times that I might have missed in there, Sherry?
The New York Times talks about the fact that they sent a delegation to Mexico back in January. And at that point, the Mexican, you know, government beefed up their enforcement. Mm-hmm. Immigration went down a bit when that happened. So now it's back to where it was. And so what they're finding is this Mexican president is completely unpredictable. They don't necessarily know when he's going to cooperate, when he's going to pull that cooperation. And what Trump did was he put in the threat of tariffs. And he's saying, if you don't stop this problem, you're going to have to pay for it in some way or fashion. So what is happening now is that Biden doesn't want to do that. Biden does not want to have a conflict with Mexico. So he's been very easy on them. Mm-hmm. And the Mexican government is saying, you know, hey, sorry, this is entirely the responsibility of the U.S. They need to change their immigration and asylum system. It's not up to us. So the only way maybe to get their attention is to do what Trump threatened to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a possibility if they go on the campaign trail about that, that could be something that Trump would talk about.
Yeah. Well, it's known as the safe third country policy. And from Louisiana, Senator Kennedy talking to DHS Mayorkas.
You can tell me if I misunderstand this. Safe third country policy says America has joined the UN treaty that says if you're being persecuted politically or for race or for religion in your own country, you can seek asylum in the United States. But this is the safe third country part. You have to seek that asylum in the first safe third country that you enter. Is that basically correct?
Of the safe third country policy? Are you asking me, is that a correct
assessment? Yes, I am.
Yes, but let me also
let me ask you this, Mr. Secretary. Safe third country policies have been around for over 40 years, haven't they?
I don't know. The
they started in the 1980s in of all places, Scandinavia, didn't they?
I don't know, Senator.
And the UK has a safe third country policy, doesn't it?
Senator, the UK is underway in addressing its immigration
Spain challenges. Has a safe third country policy, doesn't it?
Senator, if you know the answer to the question, I'm not sure why you're posing it to me.
Greece has a safe third country policy, doesn't it? Because I want to know.
I want to go to Greece this summer, by the way.
I'm going in May.
That's right. Joe's going. Okay.
If you know, you don't even know how many people are coming into our country.
That is
Greece has a safe third country policy, doesn't it?
Safe third country policy.
Senator, I disagree with the statement that you
understand, but does Greece have a safe third country policy?
I do not know if it does.
Canada, the EU, Turkey, Norway, they all have
gated the safe third country agreement.
Yeah, and the first thing that President Biden did, and you did, when you When you took office was abolish our safe third country policies.
So if you're coming from another country and you get to that safe country, that would probably be most likely Mexico. 70% of the illegal immigrants that are coming into the country are not from Mexico. So he's saying, listen, they're not from Mexico, so they have to cross into Mexico, stop them in Mexico. That's the safe third country. You wait there while all the paperwork and everything else is done, because you know you're away from all the harm. You're sitting there in Mexico, but Mexico doesn't want to deal with this. They don't want to have to deal with all the people that are sitting there. They want to feed them or house them or provide some sort of sanitation relief for these people. So they don't like the additional cost. So just pass on through, come right on into the United States, where now the cities have to deal with it. So that's why Mexico, by the way, if Mexico has any of this, they're going to be able to negotiate something for them in return. So it's like, we'll just keep pouring people in. We won't do anything unless you do something for us, you know, cut us a deal somehow on tariffs or give us this or give us that. What do you have for us? If not, we're going to continue to fill your cities with immigrants from all over the world. How many do we know that are there for just a better life, and how many there are there to disrupt and to take lives here in the United States? And one little sort of fun thing, if you're getting in an argument with somebody, like, well, you know, the immigrants to this country actually commit less crime than native born. You could say, well, how do you know that number? It's a conversation I had the other day with somebody. How do you know that number? Well, because the study. Because if you look at a sanctuary city, the police are not allowed to ask where you're from. They're not allowed to ask if you're a citizen. They're not allowed to ask those things. So there are major cities in the United States that do not keep data on any of that, especially here in the state of Washington. So if a police pull somebody over and they arrest somebody, they're not allowed to say, you know, are you from another country? Are you a legal immigrant? Are you a resident of the United States? Are you a citizen of the United States? You're not allowed. So the data itself is flawed in that regard. So when you hear those numbers, you don't really know that's the real number. Donald Trump's latest gift to everybody is to buy a Bible. I watched this entire thing.
That says grift, not gift?
Grift. Okay. Well, it's the same thing. Okay. It is a gift. He needs some money. Although his stock is doing well when it comes to Truth Social. The thing just blew up. It's gone nuts. He's, got $6.5 billion or something like that. But he wants to try to raise some money. And boy, if I had to buy a Bible from somebody.
I'm proud to be partnering with my very good friend, Lee Greenwood. Who doesn't love his song, God Bless the USA, in connection with promoting the God Bless the USA Bible. This Bible is the King James Version and also includes our founding father documents. Yes, the Constitution, which I'm fighting for every single day very hard to keep Americans protected. Also, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, and the Pledge of Allegiance are all...
It's all in the Bible, sure.
Part of this.
No, he's got like stuff in the front of it.
God bless the USA Bible, and it's just very important and very important to me. I want to have a lot of people have it. You have to have it for your heart, for your soul. All Americans need a Bible in their home, and I have many. It's my favorite book. It's a lot of people's favorite book.
Sorry.
$60.
I'm proud to endorse and encourage you to get this Bible. We must make America pray again.
You know, make America pray. Well, you know, so people that are Trump fans are getting mad. Okay. You know, make America pray and force him to pray. Oh, but he's holding the Bible. It looks like a nice Bible. It's leather. It weighs one point something pounds. It's $60. And I'm assume it's got.
Comes with a Pledge of Allegiance free.
Right. Anyway, it's in there. Sure. If you want to buy a Bible from him.
Trump, as the theologian, has had a couple of problems. For instance, there was one time when he referred to 2 Corinthians as 2 Corinthians, and there was another time when they asked him what his favorite concept in the Bible.
Concept?
Yes. So, you know, love thy neighbor, honor the mother and the father, whatever. His was an eye for an eye.
Well, they asked his favorite, I think, you know, verse or whatever. And he just said, oh, there's just so many good ones.
Yeah, you can't ask
too many. Yeah, I have too many to choose from.
He's selling shoes as well for $300.
Sold out.
They're
those
gone.
Gold sneakers? Yep, they are gone.
I was going to buy a pair of those.
because they go with your
no campus? I just think it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of a campy thing. They were gold, and I think he had a signature on there. They were sold out. Did you get the Bibles? Did you also get a Make America Pray Again hat or something like that?
He's got playing cards too.
Playing cards.
They're like AI versions of him, like Rambo with his shirt off and like guns.
He's way behind Biden when it comes to dollars for the campaign. Because he's spending most of this money, and the Republican Party is taking a lot of the money they're bringing in and having to pay for all the lawyers and everything. But he did get, because of his stock, when Truth Social went public, it's people are describing it as a meme stock, that there's really nothing underneath it. They also say if he becomes president of the United States, the value of it will go even higher. But I think, I forget where it opened. Where they set it and where it opened. Normally in IPO, they set the price like $34, thinking, okay, that's a good number in there. And then it opens and it either goes down because the market's like, no way, that the value is way overvalued, it, or it just shoots up because everyone wants a piece of it. They got a limited number of shares that are available, but I don't know where it opened, but it did go up, and they say
it's
now
like
has a
60 or something right now, but it is like a meme stock, and you know, financial experts everywhere are saying, look, give it a week, give it 2 weeks. This is there. Everybody's just pumping it up because it's a meme,
right?
And a couple weeks it'll just tank,
like GameStop.
Yeah, exactly, like GameStop.
Yeah, just run it up with nothing underneath. Yeah.
Another theory on this is it's at $8 billion. By the way, it was up to $10 billion earlier, and then now it's down to $8 billion. That's 2,000 times the company revenue from last year. So people are suggesting that what could be happening here is that investors like Saudi Arabia or Qatar, they're buying it to boost the net worth, and then they can threaten to tank it if he becomes president, and that gives them leverage over him. So it's sort of a little bit of control, or they're investing in the potential of a of another president that they might be able to have some control over.
Couldn't imagine a foreign country actually giving money to the president of the United States or family members of the president of the United States, or maybe even the president's not the president, benefiting somehow from foreign countries giving them money for various things. I could imagine something like that happening.
It's unheard of.
Absolutely. Well, thank goodness if we could stop Trump, we'll never have to deal with something like that. So that'd be a good thing. The Nigerian woman faces jail time for saying in an online review that a can of soup was too sweet. Well, thank God, thank goodness they've gotten her. Throw away the key for this gal.
Yeah, I actually think it was tomato puree. She said it was too sweet. She did this on Facebook. The company is suing her now for $3 million.
Oh, good.
She agreed to apologize. She got arrested. She went in front of a judge. She agreed to apologize. But then she said, nope, I was forced to say that I would do that under duress. So she did not apologize. She faces 3 years or a $5,000 fine because they say that she did irreparable harm to their company.
This is a Nigerian woman, because we are popular in Nigeria, Sherry, where we were before you came on board.
Well, you know, that happens.
They're constantly taking shots at the Nigerians.
Don't worry, they love me in Nigeria.
That's right.
We're back up.
Find out if we really are still number 74 as podcast in Nigeria. Right. See if we're still in there, because it's that is the thing we're holding our hat. When our sales team here at Cairo go out and talk to different, you know, clients, like elevator repair places and stuff, and we tell them where we are in the Nigerian podcast list.
Count the money.
Bags of money flying in, Sherry. Oh, those sales guys are like, you know, Scrooge McDuff rolling around in nickels or something like that.
Hey, Joe, where are you going with that money? In your hand. Hey, Joe, where are you going with that money in your hand? I'm gonna find my woman, she's running around with some other man.
Being National Joe Day, as we come in and out of all the bumps, a little bit of Joe music. Well done there, Andrew. A Joe song. And, you know this one, Joe? This is an honor of you.
Jimi Hendrix cover, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's Jimi Hendrix. Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah, but that's not Jimmy.
This is somebody else cover. I don't know.
This is the Birds cover.
Birds are right.
Oh, maybe he covered there.
All right, good. Wow, Clint cleared all that up. Just got the news that Lou Whitaker, legendary mountaineer, and Rainier Guide passes away at the age of 95. I had gotten an opportunity to interview him a long time ago. That guy was, if you want to watch somebody talk about in less than a minute, there's a piece on YouTube. I'll try to find it. He is taking a bunch of people. He's trying to climb. They're trying to a summit up to Rainier. And he's sitting there and he's explaining to them, listen, here's the key, everybody. We don't need to play it. I'll just tell you what he said. He said, here's the key. You're going to go as far up as you can go. It's not about summiting. It's not about getting to the very top. Know that while wherever we are in the next number of feet, you're going to be higher up than most people have ever experienced. So if that's important to you, you got that already. But it's not about the summit. It's about the journey. It's about what you learn about yourself on the way up and then what you learn about yourself on the way down. That's the key. That's the most important thing. So you are pushing yourself as far as you can. And it's not about the top. It's not it. Because if you'd say, oh, I want to get to the top and I want to summit to get to the then you feel as if you failed. You haven't. You go as far as you can. You push yourself to the point where you feel, you know, you're going to be safe, but you're going to be uncomfortable. But the top is not the key. Don't go for that. Go and push yourself beyond. You don't think you can go much further, go a little further. I'll help you every step of the way, and then we'll come back down and we'll talk about what we learned about ourselves. And wow, that is really a great lesson, not only in mountain climbing from Mr. Whitaker, but just in life in general. So Lou Whitaker, at the age of 95, really put climbing on the map in the Northwest and then throughout the world as well. And our condolences go out to the Whitaker family for the loss of a legend here in the Northwest and around the world. Lou Whitaker passing away at the age of 95. All right, Sherry, the Southern accent is going away. The reason the Southern accent is disappearing, there was a time that everybody from the South was migrating to the North. And then, you know, very few people were migrating back down to the South. But now, since more people from California coming in from the Northeast, coming in from the middle parts of the United States, moving down South to Georgia and to Texas, Mississippi, Alabama, that the Southern accent, which is sort of classic for a long time, which was actually a Cockney accent, and then it sort of, you know, mushed into other languages, but it started primarily as a Cockney, careful, accent. Look at Andrew. What? Now, the Southern accent is slowly but surely just sort of fading away. And it's sort of sad because I love all the different accents you can have in all the different parts of the United States. At Carnegie Mellon, the hardest thing was the junior year, they had a dialect class. And this was, they used to cut you. They would start with like 35 students your freshman year. And by the end, by the time you graduated, they would have like 12 graduates from the Bachelor of Fine Arts program. And it was your junior year. You had to commit a piece of text to memory. And then you had to give them three dialects that you were going to do. And it had to be different parts of the country, different countries, and then each one being unique. And then they would call out. So you'd be in the middle of the text, and they would call out whatever. You just switch from one to another and back all three of them. And people were just bailing out. People were like, I'd rather quit than have to be humiliated there during the dialect test that went on. So I think I had Warsaw, someplace in Ireland. I forget where it was. I forget the English. And then I had a southern one or something. And you had to commit the text and then switch back and forth. As you're doing the text, a two-minute piece of text that you had memorized. You could have done that. But now, of course, we have a no-accent rule on this show, Sherry.
Yeah, be careful, because Southern accent might be the next one to go.
Do you have like a monologue or something in your head that you learned back then that you could do?
Yeah, but I can't switch back and forth. But I had memorized The Snowman by Wallace Stevens.
Okay, can you do it like in a Louisiana accent?
Thanks, Joe. No, I don't know. No, Louisiana is a really hard one.
Yeah, it's very
really
unique.
Hard.
That's a difficult one.
Okay, what about just the, you know, southern?
I mean, no, because all the southern ones are so unique as well. I was going to get my friend Kay Lloyd on the phone. She's from Texas. Never talked to anybody from Dallas. Great. You guys are great, right? Big, wide, sort of like thing like that, right? Because if Sherry, if anybody says do a southern accent, people just do a generic southern accent for something, right? Don't you have one lined up?
Well, I mean, there's an article in the New York Times that talks about why these accents are so bad.
Oh.
In movies. And you know, even these British actors try really hard to nail down the Southern accent. But there's so many dialects and there's so many different kinds of accents within one region. It's only the people that live there, if the movie is being represented by, you know, that town, or the movie is represented by that town, they're the only ones that recognize it. So usually it's not that accurate. And they talk about Andy McDowell, who worked really, really hard to get rid of her Southern accent. And yet there have been other actors that just kind of go with it, you know, that they don't really see that it's necessarily a big problem. And I know that, who was it? It was,
okay, we'll wait.
Okay, hang on.
No, go through your papers.
I read go recently that.
Stop. Matthew McConaughey.
Yes.
Holly Hunter, Kyle Chandler. They didn't try to hide their accents at all.
Yeah. I interviewed Matthew McConaughey a bunch of times. And where is he from? Is he from Texas?
I think, yeah, he's definitely
from Texas. Yeah, he's Texas, from Texas,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he's got that kind of slow thing. I talk like that all the time.
Right, so, and that's just one part of Texas. Other parts of Texas have a different kind of dialect.
Do you assume when you're talking to somebody who's got a Southern accent that they're not that bright?
Well, they bring this up, that the Southern accent is associated with someone being less honest, less competent, and less intelligent, which is why you get a lot of people not wanting to have a Southern accent, because they feel that they might be judged by it.
Well, that's because there's the archetypal guy. He's there, you know, spitting out tobacco, and he's got the, you know, overalls on.
Well, either that or like the sheriff. I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm going to do it in my town.
My friend Dr. Heath Miller. He's from North Carolina. He talks like this. He's like, you know, you're a. I can't believe. that you like, what do they pay you to talk on the radio? I'm like, you know, I'd tell him, he's like, you're not that. I went to college. I'm a doctor. Okay. I'm a doctor. I go, yeah, but you're like a Southern doctor. That doesn't matter. Listen, that doesn't matter. I am esteemed in my profession. I'm like, yeah, you sound like you have a hayseed stuck between your teeth when you're delivering the babies.
Well, so was he saying he makes less as a doctor in North Carolina?
Let me tell you something. He's always like, do you know what they pay? I'm a doctor. I save lives. I'm like, okay. Yeah. And he's always like, don't do imitations of me on the radio. He sounds Oops. Like, I should get him on the radio.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. And I did once, and I never said his name, and then he said some woman called up, hey, John Curley's talking about you on the radio. I told him, don't do that.
Sure, his phone's ringing right
sure,
now.
Sure, I need you to get up on the table, put your feet in the stirrups.
Gross.
Have you had any problems down there recently?
Gross.
What? Huh? You don't want a Southern doctor?
No, I'm fine with. I like
Southern
accents.
I'm going to ask you to step up onto the table, put your feet in the stirrups. That you'd be like, certainly.
No, that'd be creepy. No, I think the Southern accent's really cool. I think it sounds down to earth.
Well, stick around. We'll find out what accent Sherry would be willing to get up on the table for. Gee whiz, Sherry. God. This is National Joe Day. Come on.
Yes, Sherry.
Yes, Sherry.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know what Joe wanted to do there. I thought maybe you were going to play a song or something because Joe, it's Joe Day, and you know Joe Mama.
Graham died alone.
All right, Joe Mama.
This is an idea we have, and then like halfway through, we're like, let's just screw this Joe thing. Just run it right into the ground.
There's not many.
No. Oh, Joe's doing Andrew's doing a good job of finding
I think I
Joe
have enough to get us through.
Get all the way through. Joe Jonas, I think, is one of the fifth most popular Joe names, too. Or most popular Joes, by the way, Joe. And this both, I guess, being your birthday and this also being National Joe Day.
Joe Mama.
Yeah. The celebration continues here, Sherry, for Joe's birthday.
You know, you could include female Joes like Jodie Foster.
Good try.
That's cheating.
No,
that
shit doesn't count.
Okay.
Yeah. It's not gonna be this woman's thing in there. Don't try to jump in there with your woman thing.
Josephine counts, though.
Wait a minute. It's either women or no women.
Well,
you got to take a vote.
You get Little Joe from, is it Prairie, Little House in the Prairie? Wasn't there a Little Joe?
Before my time, I don't know.
Wasn't that one of them?
I think so, yes.
Thank you, Sherry. Fine. the first Neuralink implant recipient. So you're going to be able to, this is Elon Musk, the device that goes into the brain. Brain can send signals. The person is going to be able to like they say, well, you can play chess and you'd be able to eventually move a cursor. If you're paralyzed, you're going to be able to make connections without using your hands, but just having your mind think of something and then using that as a way of
hands.
Using that.
Talk about thinking we were getting past something.
Wow. So the first guy, they think, oh, this is going to be great. The guy gets the thing in. He's like, oh, maybe he'll play chess or he'll do something really sophisticated and maybe it'll really take this to the next level. But
hello, world. How's it going out there? My name is Bliss, and I'm an engineer at Neuralink. And I'd like to introduce you to the first ever user of the Neuralink device. And I think you're my only telekinetic friend that I have.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah, not many more of those out there. You want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, my name's Nolan Arbaugh. I'm 29 years old. About 8 years ago, I was in kind of a freak diving accident and dislocated my C4, C5. So I'm a complete quadriplegic. So I'm paralyzed from below the shoulders. I have no sensation or movement below my level of injury, so below my shoulders.
Do you want to explain a little bit what's going on here?
Yeah, so I love playing chess, and so this is one of the things that y'all have enabled me to do, something that I wasn't able to really do much the last few years, especially not like this. I had to use like a mouse stick and stuff, but now it's all being done with my brain. If y'all can see the cursor moving around the screen, that's all me, y'all. It's pretty cool, huh?
Actually, can you pause the song just for the audio
absolutely.
Coming through?
Oh.
And that was also done with your brain?
Yep. It's all brain power up there.
That's crazy.
It's amazing. And
it is.
They, you know, he could eventually get robotic arms
right.
or anything else and be able to control essentially anything that digitally.
See, you know, and look at this. Andrew was able to find the music that was playing in the background and now play it here in our background. That's nice. Oh. What is wrong with the show today?
Yeah.
I think this is unbelievably cool.
Yeah.
I'm mad at Elon Musk because he had a lot of animal abuse accusations in testing this. Even the USDA was investigating him because it was so bad. But this, I think this is unbelievable for people that don't have the use of their hands. I mean, and that this could potentially help people walk.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's great.
You take an interesting stand, though, Sherry, because it's like, would you, suffering of an animal for the advance of the human being, you think if there's some way to alleviate this animal suffering so they're not involved directly for the advancement of the human being, it would be a better way to go.
Certainly.
Obviously, yes.
Yes.
If they can make all that work.